Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for at least the next hour on this August the 28th on the West Coast and August the 29th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome all the folks that are listening to us either live or on a delayed broadcast on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and on blogtalkradio.com. And I guess I should say welcome to all the people in the U.S. military that may be listening. You're going to find tonight's show rather fascinating, I think, for a number of reasons. We're going to touch upon some rather anomalous things that have been going on over the past few days, specifically this past Tuesday, in the afternoon, over the skies of Ohio, Lake Erie, and certain parts of the northern shoreline of Lake Erie in the area of Toronto, Canada. A lot of chemtrailing, a lot of flying objects. These were of a military type. These were jets flying at very high altitudes, spraying chemtrails throughout the skies, and this was an interesting kind of chemtrail because as these planes were climbing in altitude, occasionally you'd see a flash of light, and the whole underbelly of the plane would light up, and they started shooting up more vertically, sort of like rockets taking off. And it appears, at least from what we know, that we may have been witnessing anti-gravity modified jet airplanes that can go out into space. Now, for some people, that's going to sound like a stretch because you've never heard this before, although we've seen things like this in the movies. I also find it interesting that the space shuttle launch was delayed due to weather, although the weather was off the shore quite a bit. Hurricanes roaming around the West Indies and in the area of Bermuda last week. That's what was occurring. So they had a hydrogen valve malfunction or some kind of valve malfunction that grounded the shuttle. I find it highly coincidental that a few sensitives out there have determined there may be a problem on the International Space Station. And that's... It so happens, in fact, I heard this today, that the shuttle that launched that was scrapped was a shuttle that was supposed to go up to the space station. So we're finding some interesting things going on. Now, we're going to get into some of these topics and many, many more things because the chaos seems to be mounting. The motto of Freemasonry is order out of chaos, and we see the Masonic symbols and the Masonic signs everywhere. Of course, we're not just blaming the Masons on what we have going on this planet and out in the outer reaches of our atmosphere and our near space. Just so many things to bring up tonight that we will probably touch upon all the perpetrators, those that like to call themselves the Illuminati, because they consider themselves to be illuminated or enlightened. And I don't know, when we think about the things that they do on a day-to-day basis and how hell-bent they are on power and control and getting all the money, all the illusions that they create. They want to hoard those illusions for themselves. It seems a bit psychotic, the whole thing. It's there's an antithesis to this whole operation that they call reality. We call it our experience in life. And if they were all that powerful, why can't they fix things? Why can't they make things work the right way? You know, why can't we have peace? Why can't we have love? Why can't we have understanding and expression of wisdom and awareness, consciousness, creativity, productivity? I mean, they can make money if everybody's working. If everybody's working, they can spend money. They'll make their money. They've always done it that way. But it seems like somehow they have to lead us down some kind of abyss of destruction. And they can't compete with the creator of the universe, so they have to do everything the opposite. Well, it's a road to nowhere. It's a dead end street. But they can't seem to see that with all of their enlightenment, and all their wisdom, and all their secrecy. I think the big secret is that they don't want anyone to really know how stupid they are, how illogical they are, and how corrupt they are. That's the secret. But we already know that, so we're going to get into that topic and others with tonight's guest. He is a regular guest on Evident Footprints every Friday night. Scientist, inventor, extraordinaire, author, lecturer, and teacher, my co-host and our resident science advisor on Evident Footprints, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Don. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm in rare form tonight. What can we say? I want to rant. I'm trying to use logic, you know, think outside the box, you know, describe all these things. I mean, it's just a total insanity going on here. Everywhere you turn, there is this, it's sort of like you're on a Ferris wheel that's trying to be a carousel, you know?
Yeah, I can understand it.
I had a chance off the air to explain to you a little bit about what's been going on over the state of Ohio. These mysterious planes that appeared out of nowhere seem to have appeared out of Lake Erie, actually, as if there's an underground base in the area of Lake Erie, and these planes just appeared on a moment's notice and just whizzing past everybody. And they go pretty fast anyway, but I'm telling you, the speeds were not seen by people before. Not airplanes. We've seen saucers move at incredible speeds. But what we witnessed on Tuesday was really outside the box. And here we have another incident playing itself out. We can't maintain peace within our own societies on the planet. We can't maintain the peace with other beings that exist outside of this earthly prison that we're on. And it seems like in terms of consciousness, this reality here on Earth is one of the lowest in the universe, if not the lowest. Would you like to comment on that? Get us rolling here.
Well, perhaps it's just my defensive posture. I would certainly like to think that it's not the lowest, because the imagery that I have received over the years suggests that there are actually planets out there that are in much earlier stages of evolution with their native inhabitants. And I would certainly like to think that we're at least above that notch. But you never know. I mean, some of the... it may very well be that you can have troglodytes that are struggling up the evolutionary ladder that are at least pure in intention than some of the creatures that are weaseling around on this planet. And so in that case, maybe we are the lowest. One thing I can certainly say, there are a particular variety of subspecies, barely human, that are definitely very, very low on the evolutionary scale. And those are the ones that are causing all the problems. It's just a shame that the rest of the world is so tied up in their everyday activities that they are seemingly oblivious to the antics of these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. Now, of course, I don't mean every single person on the planet. There are a lot of good people. There are a lot of conscious people. There are people actually working at changing this paradigm, if you would call it that, into something more equitable for everybody else. And I'm certainly not suggesting that we move into a communistic society. That's not at all what I'm implying. But that that we return to our original state as recipients of the Creator's free will, and that we can exercise creative license on that basis, not on on the pieces of paper that are put in front of us, you know, not permission slips or hall passes. It seems like you know, everything we do in our life, we got to get a hall pass. There's a hall monitor waiting for us, you know. There's somebody waiting in the wings to punish us, to whip us into shape, to get us in line, and march in sync. And it doesn't matter if we're marching in time or marching in place. They just want to see the marching. They want to see people snap or jump through hoops at their beck and call. And I'm speaking of, you know, these restrictions that they call laws, and I'm looking at all the ways they violate the natural laws and God's laws, and they just dream up these insane scenarios, all designed to eventually channel the money, channel the affluence into their pockets at the expense of everyone else. Like, that is going to make them somehow be worth something more than what they are. I wonder what they see in the mirror. I wonder how many times they have to replace their mirrors, you know, from damaging them just from looking at them. So I'm speaking about those that profess to have all the answers to running the world, and how much they fall short, even of their own requirements, and the perversions and the sadistic evil acts that they perpetrate on humanity and on nature and on this planet. And they do this in front of God as if somehow they're going to escape the ultimate responsibility for what they do. It's just beyond me. And I notice many times a day it dawns on me, without exception, that all they want to do is to put a covering or a veil or a mask over the truth. They do not want the truth to be known. As if somehow we can't handle it. Well, really the issue, I'm sure you would agree, is that they can't be in control. If we become empowered, they're less than what they think they are now. Why would any great being have to be secret about what it does? Is its greatness born out of secrecy? Because secrecy leads to stupidity and ignorance. And yet, that's what they do. They do things in secret, and they get this high or this perverted stimulation of putting it in front of our face to see if we can recognize it, as if somehow we can't recognize what it is. Whether it's a psyop, or it's mind control, or it's propaganda, or it's just pure evil that they want to unleash on us. They have to show it in movies. They have to write about it, have people write books about it, call it nonfiction, and then turn around and create it in their reality. And not even realizing that what they're doing is still an illusion. What they do is no different from a Hollywood movie. The only difference is you don't get the popcorn and the candy and the soft drinks. You know? So when I'm speaking about, you know, the planetary consciousness, I mean, these are the people that think that they're qualified to be God on this planet, and they screw up their own plans. And they're like rats in a sack at each other, too.
Well, of course. I mean, that goes without saying. I understand pretty well why their plans are never going to be fulfilled. You know, it's so obvious to anybody that really understands the way the universe is set up. I mean, the being that designed all of this stuff has layer upon layer of rules or laws that determine the way in which the physical reality works, the psychic reality works, the spiritual reality works. And our obligation is to study and become aware of what these laws are and then run our lives by them. Now, we do that on the physical plane almost with almost automatically, because you're born into this three-dimensional realm. You very quickly have to learn the rules of living here, or you'd be perpetually screwed up. And so we very quickly fall into step with most of the laws of nature. But every schoolboy knows that if you try to go against those laws, you get a negative reaction. It's like, well, let's take the law of gravity. We all know what that does, even if you don't know how it does it. So if we're on a 50-story building and we decide to just step off the roof for a lark, you know, when you're halfway down, you can't just say, darn it, you know, that didn't seem like a good idea. It's too late. You violated common sense, and you put yourself at the mercy of a law that is going to do what it was created to do, whether you like it or not. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because there are laws of that sort on every octave of creation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not supposed to violate them. You're supposed to work intelligently with them. So actually, when these guys take matters into their own hands and decide that they're going to create a kingdom here on Earth that's going to run the way they want it to run, well, they might get away with it in the physical plane because the wealth that they've been throwing around for the last few centuries has organized the entire topography of the planet. We've talked about how they manage total control in the environments of cities.
Mm-hmm.
And they use traffic lights and signs and, you know, every manner of interference with normal life to channel you into a mode of activity over the course of your existence. So this naturally enriches the ego, and they get the impression, well, heck, we can do this on the mental plane. So then they invade the school system and teach you how to think and what to think about and, you know, what to contemplate and what to leave alone. And after they see the effects of this interference, they say, well, you know, we can also do this on a spiritual level. And then they start to try to interfere with the development of consciousness, the evolution of the soul, and all these other things that they're tampering around with. But the irony of it is, they're no more immune in their activities from the laws that the Creator has placed in existence than the guy is who decides to step off the roof. If you screw up, then nature just, you know, takes its toll. So my feeling is, you can only go so far with this nonsense before it backfires on you. And it isn't necessarily because there's going to be some kind of major uprising, although there might be, but much rather because of the fact that you just can't keep spitting in the face of divinity without having a negative reaction. It's that simple.
Yeah. And, you know, the negative reaction, in a sense, is from one's perspective, okay? As far as they're concerned, they're doing the right thing. You know, they're the antithesis of the creation. So what is good is evil, and what is evil is good. And they're just follow that pattern. That's the cookie cutter technique. There's not a whole lot of creativity behind that. They always have to devise a dialectical argument to divide the people, because a divided people can be conquered. As if they can't see how they've already destroyed society. They have to destroy it a bit more. They have to have somehow a little bit more mold on the food, you know, a little bit more toxin in the water, a little more depleted uranium in the atmosphere, a little wider ozone hole, I'm being sarcastic with this one, a little more global warming, you know. I mean, the lies and the deceit and the treachery and the corruption is in itself an entity, okay? No longer can you say that ill health and evil are separate. The two have morphed into one being, and they've brought it into their religions and their rituals and their sacrifices and their perversions and their laws and their justice system and their science. I'm not speaking about you and the genuine scientists out there that are actually recognizing the creation and the creator's laws. That's not what I'm speaking about. But they're so void of or devoid of spirit that they have to create technology to replace that.
I agree with you there, Don, but you know that the thing that these people in all of their great wisdom don't seem to realize is if you cast God out of your existence, then don't expect any input from God. And so if you have a closed system which consists mostly of perverted morons, then the only thing that you can do is to recirculate the information that's already contained in that space. And mm-hmm. It's going to continue to degenerate in one form or another, regardless of what you may claim. Because true inspiration, the kind that lifts, elevates, and creates joy and worthwhile results for all of mankind, only comes from the outside stimulus provided by the deity. So yeah. if you want to really refresh the scene, so to speak, those channels must be opened for inspiration from above on how to circumvent the problems here below.
Yeah.
And when you cut that off, you know, you just keep using the same wash water over and over again. All it does is get more and more putrid.
Yeah. There's a great spiritual truth in something you said when you said that, I'm paraphrasing it, but you leave God out of the equation, don't expect any input from God. Well, then that only leaves one other possibility, and that's output. I mean, the message is right there. It's very clear. Expect God to act at some point. Expect the Creator to act and rewrite his artistry, his creation. Set it again in balance and on the proper path. And it's going to exclude those that have created this mess here. The lies about pandemics and the lies about the finance and the lies about the health care. Does anyone honestly think that these people give a damn about our lives? the quality of our lives? That they give us high-definition television with a box that has a camera and a speaker and a microphone that they can monitor what you say and how you move around your house. They can peer in on you when you're engaged in your most intimate acts with your spouse. Or they can turn it into a peek show of your children. We don't think of these things, but these warnings have been given. Jim, we've got a caller on the line. I think I know who this is. Caller, would you state your name and where you're calling from, please? Well, we're... Hello, caller?
Yeah, this is Drew from Louisiana.
Hey, Drew, is this Drew Malone Raines III?
My name is Drew Malone. I am from the family of Raines, and I'm the third member of the family of Raines to carry the name Drew Malone.
Okay. Meet Jim Murray. Jim, this
Hello,
is
Jim,
Drew
how you doing, sir?
Yes, sir. Good evening to you. Nice to have you aboard.
Well, I admire your work. I've been listening to your show now for several months. But we got to go back about 12 or 13 minutes. You guys were talking about nature, and it lit a path fire to me to my favorite inventor, Nikola Tesla. And I had to chime in to throw in something I kept yelling at Don over the message board. Wait, wait, wait! Have you guys hugged a tree lately? Let nature know that you feel the truth. And there are no secrets from nature's God, and nature has no secrets. Nikola Tesla stated in 1917, even matter, called inorganic, believed to be dead, responds to irritants and gives unmistakable evidence of a living principle within. Everything that exists, organic or inorganic, animated or inert, is susceptible to a stimulus from the outside, God.
Yeah,
Jim,
that's
you
exactly
want to
correct.
Comment?
One of those little quotes that you find in the history books that Mattie Mae Brown taught us back in the 1960s when we had real history teachers that believed in real scientists.
Well,
I just
had to
call and let you guys know. I'm sorry.
We're gonna have to do this one at a time. Jim, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I was trying to. You certainly picked a particularly wonderful individual to emulate. You know, I'm very much a fan of Nikola Tesla, and I've been doing work along his suggested lines of research for many, many years. And what most people don't realize is he was not religious in the sense that he was involved with any organized form of religion, but he was an extremely spiritual person. As a matter of fact, he came from a long line of priests on both his father's side and his mother's side. And
yes,
so
that's
he was an unusual guy because he was plugged into science on the material end, and he was plugged into the highest form of nature on the spiritual side.
And he never professed God. That's the only quote I've ever found where God is mentioned in the same paragraph. And I've read five books that were written by him that total over 1,800 pages.
Pretty profound. Well, Drew, as you know, we talk about Tesla quite a bit on this
really?
Show.
Really? Oh, wow.
and some others. Victor Schauberger is another one.
Was it Victor Schauberger that was given his papers in 1943, just weeks before he died? Was he
well, one of actually, he was whisked over here after the Second World War with all kinds of promises to develop his technology. He wound up in Texas. I forget the name of the town that he was in. His son was with him, and they broke every promise they made to him, and tried to.
Are you talking about Nikola? They broke every promise to Nikola Tesla. I believe that. Yes, sir.
Well, not only to Tesla, we're talking about Schoberger right now.
Oh, Schoberger, okay.
And you know, he actually went home quite a broken man and died shortly afterwards in Germany.
No kidding.
As far as Tesla is concerned, they did the same thing with him. I mean, if you look at the way that these politicians behave, there's an endlessly repeatable cycle that seems to always become engaged in whatever they do. Promise you what you want to hear, you know, force you to cooperate, and then break every promise.
That's true. I'll tell you one thing. I got an idea yesterday, but I found out that UPS couldn't get this box of marshmallows. I wanted to put together an idea of putting a box of marshmallows and sending it up to Nantucket for Kennedy's coffin.
You'll have to explain that one to me.
He needs the marshmallows to roast where he's going.
Oh, well, that's okay.
I have a weird sense of humor sometimes.
I just didn't catch it, but yeah, I understand. I was not a fan of that man. I can tell you that right now.
I mean, a man that's basically on the verge of being a pedophile in public, an immoralist. I've been sickened this last few days of all this trilogy of praise, this symbolistic form of platitudes that I just want to go regurgitate. He's going to be buried in a cemetery that's going to have honorable men buried throughout it, and that's another big pet peeve. And one of the things I learned here years ago when I put my website up for my electronic engineering company was where Nikola Tesla was buried, in a common grave there in New York. It amazes me that the greatest man that has really moved this nation forward to what it is today was unknown until the last maybe 8 or 10 years, where more and more people have been talking about him.
Well, yeah, don't forget, a lot of that was done by design. I mean, actually, Don will tell you that through his own research, he has exposed the fact that that Tesla was obviously murdered. And the interesting thing is that they went and had him cremated immediately to cover their tracks. And so, you know, there's probably nothing in the
the grave is either ashes or nothing.
Well, the ashes I know are in Belgrade Museum.
Oh, okay. Well, what's the grave site? It's got a gravestone on it there in New York.
Yeah, but there's probably nothing under it. It's probably just the memento, you know.
I could never find anything in any of the New York papers for a memorial. I found the memorial service, but I couldn't find anything for a funeral. And I didn't know that his body was cremated.
Oh, yeah, they made short work of that. They didn't want anybody to do an autopsy, you know.
Well, all great men are as we say in Arkansas, Arkansized. In Louisiana, we call them suicided. So I agree with you 100%. Anyway, I just wanted to chime in and tell you guys that first chance you get, hug the tree out in your yard and let nature's God know that you care.
Do it all the time,
Drew. I'll let y'all have your show back. I'll get off the air. I talk too much anyway.
No, thanks for calling in. Good to
see
you. God
bless. Bye.
Yeah, for the listening audience, I'm going to be on Drew Rain's show. It looks like it's going to be a regular event on Mondays until he gets sick of me. I'll be on next Monday, the 31st, on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on Blog Talk Radio. Most of you in the States can tune in via phone bridge. Or on the internet, just go to blogtalkradio.com and click on A Marine's Disquisition. You know, Jim, I wanted to comment on something that Drew said, and you said, actually, and that's this this hell-bent determination to suppress Tesla's technology because it reveals the reality that I spoke of at the top of this show. And I did this on Tuesday and Wednesday night, as I mentioned to you off the air, because you were unable to hear those shows. I described this scenario that went on virtually all over the state of Ohio, and parts of Canada. Now, the consciousness of the people is such that a lot of people didn't know what was really going on, but they could feel something going on, if you know what I mean. Those that are dumbed down and sort of walking in a stupor, sort of in this zombie state of just going through the motions of life without really giving anything any in-depth consideration from moment to moment, even noticed that there was something unusual going on. And when you impact people that much, and then you hide what you've done, no wonder we're suspicious. No wonder we mistrust government or those that would have themselves be our gods. That's a pretty sorry case when you cannot respect the gods of this planet, as they would like to call themselves. I mean, it's pathetic, really. It is.
Here's an interesting twist to what you just presented. Now, pick any one of them. I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to direct my thinking toward anyone in particular. But just pick any one of those people, and can you really see placing them on a throne and having the population of the earth literally bow down to that individual as a superior being? I mean, this is in their own head. It certainly isn't in anybody else's. I mean, I could give you a dozen names of people who think they're demigods. And in reality, if you sat them on a throne, they'd be lucky if they weren't stoned to death because they're just disgusting human beings. But yet they really and truly believe that they are some kind of superior entity. And it's amazing. It just goes to show you that it's a show that goes on in their own mind. It certainly isn't real. That's where the illusion is.
Yes, and it's imposed upon us. And they have to do it in the form of laws, what I call chicken scratch on parchment, you know, shaved off trees, okay, with chicken scratch on them. I mean, my goodness, what power is in that? There's only the mystique of the illusion that holds any power. And as soon as you begin to look at it and talk about it and study it and recognize it for what it is, I mean, you can't even use this stuff for toilet paper. You really can't. You know, in an emergency, okay? If they shut down all the paper manufacturing plants, especially the ones that make toilet paper, and they all, you know, you'd have an abundance of paper with all the law books they've created. Give everybody a couple of sheets, you know, and have at it.
The only problem is the outcome would be very irritating.
Oh, yes. But the laws would finally get their just due rewards, wouldn't they?
You know, because you know, here's the thing, Don. Most people don't even know this. They're not laws. You know, in order to have a real law, you have to have the entire intent of the law that's going to be passed, published in the Federal Register. It has to be voted upon. It has to have supporting documentation. And then, you know, under the normal due process, it becomes a law of the land.
Yeah,
These aren't really laws. They're statutes, which come under the make-believe system of the Admiralty laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is something that they created by bringing the naval and maritime laws onto land.
Mm-hmm.
for their own purposes.
Yeah.
But that's not true law. You know, that's statutory law.
Yeah, well, you know, they call them codes too. And you know, we have all kinds of codes in everyday use. I mean, you have messages which are encoded, you have languages that have codes. And their secrets have codes, and their symbolism they're all based on words that have no substance to them. That's why their codes and their statutes have no substance, like you said. They're not anything even approaching the laws of the Creator.
Oh, that's for sure. As a matter of fact, you brought up a very interesting point when you talked about the choice of words. If you get a hold of Black's Law Dictionary, 6th edition, and you start looking up words that you think you know what they mean, you'll find out that they have very secondary and very subtle meanings that have been attributed to them by these illuminated ones. And it's really all for the purpose of allowing them to write sentences with double meanings. So actually, the idea of code is very real, because the laws, as they are written, have a meaning that you only can discern if you are a, quote, lawyer who is familiar with the double meanings of these things. And it started to get out of hand when so many people bought Black's Law Dictionaries that in the more recent volumes, they've cut out a lot of the more important secret definitions of words. And that's why it's important to get some of the earlier volumes that are pretty much all-inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
But for instance, if you look up human being, you'll be very surprised what the definition is. Because... There isn't anybody on earth that would ever guess the secondary meaning that's attributed to the human expression. It's pretty degrading. You'd have to look it up to appreciate it.
Well, I just looked it up. A man, woman, or child of the species distinguished from other animals. Okay, so now human beings are animals, right? From other animals by superior mental development. Wow, isn't that an oxymoron? Power of articulate speech. What's up? An upright stance as their drawers fall down. I added that. that's my computer dictionary right there.
From a Black Law Dictionary?
Oh, no, that wasn't Black's Law Dictionary. That was just a dictionary.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Jim, we've got another caller here. I want to bring this caller on. He's been waiting for a little bit patiently. Is this Everett from Winnipeg?
Yes, it is. Hi, Don. Hi, Jim. Sorry about the line. It's a little bit wonky. They're going to be fixing it shortly. So I wanted to tell you that 2 days ago I've seen chemtrails south of our city,
mm-hmm.
going from east to west. But the vehicle that was gone, it was up very high. You couldn't see up any navigation lights. And there was only one contrail. And as the contrail went by, it looked like little blurps. It looked like a strand of beads. You had these little bubbles of white cloud following
mm-hmm.
a straight line. And there was three lines that day, and it happened in between, I would say, 1 and 4 o'clock Central Time.
Oh, what day was that?
It was 2 days ago. It would be the 26th, I think.
Okay, yeah. 26th
or
had,
27th.
We had some activity this past Tuesday in
Ohio.
Yeah,
that would be, when would that be, Wednesday for me?
That probably would have been Wednesday. My math at this hour of the morning is not all that great.
Same here.
Let's see. Tuesday was the 25th. Wednesday was the 26th.
Yeah,
so
it would be the 26th then. But they were going from an east to west direction.
Okay. Yeah, we saw virtually every imaginable direction that you've ever seen chemtrails sprayed.
Now, I missed that. I heard it on that night that you were talking about it. Just couldn't phone in, but the next day it was just three vertical lines from east to west, and that was all that I'd seen. And, of course, based on listening to your show, I immediately said, well, I'm going to call some SLIFs and see if they can look after that.
Yeah,
so now, it now, sounds like, Don, that's what he's describing sounds like a pulse jet.
It was one contrail. Like, you know, when you see a jet, like a big one, like a four engine, you get to see the four engine contrails and they merge into one. But this one was just one line, and it's just like a little pulse. It's like if you had a ruler, it would be like one eighth distance. So,
mm-hmm.
Poof.
Now I've seen what you're describing. I didn't go into that explanation tonight, but I think I described it on Tuesday. I saw pulses of you know what you're calling beads, but they were coming out like rings. Okay.
Yeah, that could have been it. But the contrail also remained with the pulses too.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Well, that's all I want to say. Enjoy your show. I better let go because this buzzing is driving me mad.
Okay, well, thanks for calling in. Your voice is very clear, though. It was not a bad connection there. Tell them to fix
great.
The ground wires on your system, though.
Yeah, they have to look at a pole or something. They were doing some work on it.
Yeah, you might have to have the gas company to really get it fixed, though, you know?
The gas company?
The gas company is God.
Ah.
<You know?
laughs> All right. Thank you,
I'm
gentlemen.
Being sarcastic. Okay, go ahead.
No worries.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Yes, Jim. Well, see, that's interesting. So in Winnipeg, they've got the same issue going on. I'm telling you, there's something going on, and people are seeing this. People are noticing this. There is consciousness coming to this planet.
Well, don't forget, regardless of how brainwashed the average person may be, the one thing they are definitely going to notice is something going on in the environment that they're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's very difficult to have a UFO fly over your house or have something really strange happen to your animals or have, you know, some really bizarre energy manifestation occur, and then have a government idiot come and tell you, no, you really didn't see that. You know, that's the one area that people have a great deal of focus and a great deal of faith is in their everyday consciousness that allows them to manifest in this 3D world.
Yeah.
So if they see something that they know is off the wall, and then you come and tell them they didn't really see it, that doesn't ring right unless you're really, really down around the conscious level of a sponge.
Yeah. Well, and two, you know, it's like you say something that they don't want the public to know, okay? I mean, that's the danger of a journalist, being a journalist, an investigative journalist that's bringing out the truth. However difficult it may be to accept on its face value, those with a little bit of discernment kind of see dots being connected, okay? And then they come and they say, well, you know, you mustn't talk about this, or this is not supposed to be known. The people aren't supposed to know this. Well, is there any difference from that and poisoning the people? I guess the people don't know they're being poisoned. Where do you think illness comes from? Whether you're poisoning their minds or you're poisoning the electromagnetic fields around their body, or you're poisoning the foods that they consume, or you're poisoning them through the the Frankenstein-like medical creations that you call medicines and vaccinations? Is there any difference between me speaking the truth about your lies or your actions speaking that? There's no difference. And I'll tell you, I'll be damned if somebody's going to tell me that I cannot expose these things, that I cannot reveal the truth to somebody. Their actions speak for themselves. Few are paying attention. That's the problem that we have. But that's changing. You see, because the universe was created so intelligently that the pathways are there for that information to arrive that will spawn an awakening of the masses. Certainly nature knows how it's being mistreated and abused, and it reflects that. But they have no concern about that, no appreciation for that. They really don't appreciate anything, even their own ill-gotten gains in the financial community are not appreciated. It's suffering right now, isn't it? I mean, do we not see the problems that they have themselves? That their own creations are falling apart? Go ahead.
You're picking out really worthwhile things here, because you see, with the fiat money system, even if it had never, ever been challenged, and even if nobody was ever suspicious of the way in which it worked, the simple fact of the matter is, it can only spread so far before the whole world is in a tanglement of debt, and the thing is going to collapse. So actually, the only thing that allowed it to work intelligently was the dichotomy between the people who were using the system and the rest of the world who wasn't using it. And then they got so greedy, they said, well, you know, this is working great, we're just going to spread it around. So then they used the idiotic mechanism of impressing so-called democracy on the world. And with democracy, of course, comes the fiat money system. By virtue of your friendly international bankers. And so little by little, it spread like a plague until it reached the point where everybody's broke. So the interesting thing is, even though the so-called elite wind up with all the wealth, if you have all the wealth and you do nothing but hoard it, in the long run, the net effect is the same as if you're broke. If you don't believe me, just try it. Take your savings out of the bank, you know, bury it in a hole in a concrete vase, and don't do anything about it. So let's say you have $150,000 buried down there. What are you going to do the following week when you have to pay the rent or your mortgage or you want to buy food? You might have all the wealth, but you can't do anything with it. And so, you know, this is the sickness that's associated with this type of thinking. Sure, they tricked everybody into giving up their gold. They raped the entire country and others, and they hoard all this wealth and stash it God only knows where. And now they think they're going to turn around and use that to buy up and control all the rest of the world for a few cents on the dollar. But it's not working out that way for them, because greed can only go so far before it attacks itself, as you pointed out.
Yeah. You know, I keep running this through my mind. I'm not caught in a loop like they would prefer, but I try to look at this from different perspectives, okay? You create an economy based on illusion. Okay, so it's a magic trick. It's a parlor trick. Okay, the trick is done. We've seen it. Now, how do you account for the people that have lost their homes? People that are living out on the streets, living out in the wild somewhere. Some may be fortunate enough to have a tent. The less fortunate may have a cardboard box that they use for a blanket. And trust me, Jim, I've seen this in other parts of the world. I've been to civilized countries. I mean, I've seen this in New York. Way back in the early 1970s, there were people lying on the sidewalks covering themselves with a cardboard box that they had gotten from a store or a trash bin somewhere, a dumpster in an alley. They were lying on one if they were fortunate enough to have two and using the second one for a blanket. That was 36, 37 years ago that I saw that, okay, in New York City. And I'm fairly certain that it's not going on as much because there aren't as many cardboard boxes to go around. Okay? But those that have them are using them, guaranteed. It goes on in Los Angeles, too. I saw it in Los Angeles over a 10-and-a-half-year period. Same thing. I saw it in Morocco. I saw people walking 6 miles, old women, 80, 85, 90 years old, hunched over with a stack of animal skins or blankets or rugs or things that were handcrafted in one country, walking over the border, being beaten by border guards, having them steal half of their goods and all of their money, forcing them to wash their vehicles, their cars or their jeeps, their paddy wagons. And then these people continued on to try to sell what they had and then make the 6 mile trip on foot back over the bridge to go through the same thing again. And they called this society. I saw that. I witnessed this over a 3-day period. And you have hundreds of thousands or millions of people being murdered with exotic weaponry. And you have our soldiers around the world being turned into guinea pigs with vaccines. These people, well, they're not even people. I can't even call them people. I really can't. Call them reptilians. Call them demons. But people they are not. Species do not treat their own kind like we are treated here on this earth. And I'm sure this is going on in lots of other planets, in other galaxies, in other solar systems. This is going on. But here, where we have the enlightened ones that only know murder and treachery and deceit and filth and perversion. I mean, how can anyone make sense out of what they do? You know, and I run these things through my mind and I say, what part of their illusion don't they understand? Don't they understand that they're living the hell that they try to create for us? They're living it. But it's nothing like the one coming to them. I guarantee you that. That there will be accountability and responsibility for their actions. Not just on humanity either. They're going to have to take nature as well. Accountability for what they've done to the nature and to the earth and to the outer realms. We could talk about other planets, other celestial bodies, the moon, Mars, and beyond. Believe me, they're not telling us the half of what's going on. They lie about everything. Everything they lie about. Because to tell the truth about one thing is it's going to be their undoing, you see? So they won't tell us. This is why you and I and others like us are telling the truth.
Yeah, well, I don't know about all these people who make lying a career, but the fact of the matter is that truth is the only thing worth striving for. In a world that is nothing more than an endless collection of variables, you can't find any solid footing until you find some truth. Therefore, it is really the most valuable thing that you can pursue. And it comes at a great cost because it's so cleverly buried. I don't care which truth you're trying to find, you know, truth in medicine, truth in measurement, truth in science, truth in religion, truth in the legal system. There is no truth in politics, so I won't even go there. But no matter which one you're trying to find, it's been totally decimated, rearranged, and cleverly hidden so that you're faced with an incredible barrage of lies. It's really an amazing achievement if you look at it objectively. The problem is it serves no purpose because it can't persist. You know, everybody has told lies at one point or another in their life. You know, there are no angels here on earth. But the one thing that these people apparently have never learned is the interesting fact that once you tell a lie, if you never really intend to come clean, the only choice you have as things spiral out of control is to manufacture new lies to support the original lie. And before you know it, you've woven a fabric that's so intricate and so complicated that you have to have books just to keep track of all the lies. And they do. They have law books.
And they have
nobody
bank
can remember so many lies.
Yeah. They have bank books too, don't they?
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
And they have scientific books, and they have history books. I mean, history is really, it's a comedy of errors, is it not? It's amazing.
Well, are they really errors?
Well, they're intentional. It's intentional. I mean, you know, you put the reason for dropping the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in a history book, and you teach this to everyone, and then everyone believes that what happened was it had to happen to end the war. The Japanese had already surrendered for all intents and purposes. Anyone that's really studied that issue carefully knows that. They had to have this lab test, this litmus test of just complete destruction, and they picked two cities that were unscathed intentionally during the war. They didn't touch either of those two cities because they wanted to see the maximum impact that those horrific weapons were going to have on a perfectly stable setting. No forewarning. How evil, how much more evil can anyone get? And it was all done under pretense, under lies. The sabotaging of our naval base at Pearl Harbor. My God, it was in the newspaper the day before Pearl Harbor may be attacked. You mean these people don't read the newspaper? How did that sneak out into the news? Was that the Hegelian dialectic? Was that Masonic motto there? Certainly reeks of all of that, doesn't it? And that there's no compunction about a government that would take out its own people, its own military, while they're sleeping or while they're in the mess hall or sitting on a toilet, to murder a few thousand people, just like they did on 9/11. Same thing. Same thing.
Anybody that's familiar with Trading with the Enemy Act, you know, it's very interesting if you look at the history of that particular law, because it starts off giving permission to for a commercial exchange between the United States government and recognized enemies that were adversaries in war. And then it was amended to include the people of the United States of America. That's in our own law books. Anybody that's listening that doesn't think that there's something perverted about that ought to go and look it up. Trading with the Enemy Act. You know, one of the changes or the amendments includes the United States people. So we are the enemy of the government. And they
Or if we trade with our government, doesn't that make them the enemy?
Well, certainly. I mean, enemies have two sides. No.
So, but the law doesn't apply to them somehow, you see? We have this dichotomy here. That what's good for the goose is not at all intended for the gander. In looking at what's going on today, you know, Jim, everything you and I are talking about, and we're not necessarily speaking about any particular time frame here, but in light of all the fear that's cast out to get everybody worried, to get everybody in a state of fear, to divert our attention from the usual corruption that's going on, and I'll keep bringing it up until somebody in law enforcement finally makes the proper arrests, somebody gets a guilty enough conscience that they say, you know, you can't be stealing trillions of dollars. You know, some sheriff out there that by law is above any authority, any federal authority. You know, the robbery of money that's not even brought into the illusion. Some, you know, that these people think that they can just keep this going on and on and on forever. You know, this insane plan to get rid of 6.2 billion people, to reduce the population of the world to some 500 million people. You would think somebody that was really that devious and really intended to do it wouldn't broadcast it, other than to get some kind of sick glee out of doing it by creating something like the Georgia Guidestones. Putting eight languages, these decrees that they finally reduced the world to the right population. And anybody that can do the math can put all the people on the earth within the boundaries of Australia and still have room to pitch horseshoes and throw frisbees. And they feed us these lines every year. We're out of room. We're out of jobs. We're out of resources. We're out of leadership, actually, true leadership. We're out of godly men and godly women that want to be gods. We're out of people that have any honor or any morality to uphold the oaths that they've taken. It's all shallow. It's all meaningless. It's a bad play. It's worse than a Ronald Reagan movie.
Well, that's why it can't last. The seeds of its own destruction came with the initial design. It's just a question of when.
Now, there is a bright side to all this. And I certainly don't want to dwell on all this, you know, what people are going to perceive as negativity. And certainly we're not fear-mongering. We're looking at this and describing it as for what it is. And there are probably a million other topics that we could discuss, but we'll leave it at that. There are other places in the universe, in the galaxy, in the solar system where there is life. There is no doubt about it. There's not a shred of doubt about that. anybody that has an IQ of 1.2 can sense that on some level. And there were people coming from other parts of the universe, other parts of our galaxy, that have been here. And this has been a topic on this show many times. We've even gotten calls from space. And no one except the agent provocateurs that are paid to send out emails and go on the web and defame people while they themselves are mind controlled and drugged to the max and every bit as psychotic as their handlers. and these people are watching what's going on here. And I can tell you from my sources that they're recognizing an uplifting in consciousness. I had Z.S. Livingstone on the show Wednesday night, and he was describing the very grids that you and I talk about, Jim. This, we're not the only ones that are crazy here. We've got a man in Canada that's crazy, like us, describing the grids, the vortexian energy fields, how planets spin, how this information travels along these grids, and how creation is always in effect. It's not something that's, it's not like going to the barbershop or the beauty salon and getting your hair done and you got to come back in 2 weeks and do it all over again. It's a continuous process. And we either contribute to it or we take away from it. We either assist it in evolving into something higher in vibration, or we destroy it. We lower the vibration. These characters running this planet are masters of the lowest of the low. I mean, they're lower than Toe Jam. I hate to be so graphic. Those that get Toe Jam know what I'm talking about. I mean, they're just devoid of any hope or any love other than of themselves. And their perversions. And somehow society is satisfied with that.
Well, I think they're satisfied with it because they're trained to be satisfied with it. And the whole hinge point or hinge pin of the philosophy is that if they have nothing to compare anything to, then obviously they're going to adhere to what they know. And one of the things that makes this whole process successful is screening out anything that's the antithesis of what they're trying to create. So most people don't have any point of comparison. This is all they know. And you tend to love what you know because you're comfortable with it. But that doesn't mean that on some level you're not aware that something's wrong. The problem is if you're raised in it with enough intensity, it's difficult to figure out what's wrong. You just have an unsettled feeling, you know.
Yeah.
And I've talked to hundreds of people over the years who experience this very thing and will openly tell you, I just can't figure out what's wrong. You know, they can't figure out what's wrong because they've been deprived of a point of comparison by design.
Yeah. Jim, we got another caller. I don't mean to cut you off. I want to continue with that. We've got Mark from University Place, Washington. Mark, welcome to Evident Footprints. Comment or question for Jim Murray.
That was fast. Thank you both. I appreciate it. I'm like you. I'm a fellow musician, and I always on the internet reading and are you familiar with the White Knights YouTube channel?
The White Knights YouTube channel.
Are you speaking to
thank you, White Knights? Yeah,
Jim,
thank you.
Are you familiar with that, or are you asking me that, Mark? I'm not clear on that.
I'm asking you guys both that, or Jim. I'll ask Jim, sure.
No, actually, I have to confess I'm not familiar with it. What is it?
Are you kidding me? Oh, man. Well, it's www.youtube.com. Thank you, White Knights. There's some particular very good information on here about, well, here's one thing. Hillary Clinton has been testifying against the Bushes now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
Do you know about this stuff?
Yes, I'm aware of it also.
Well, I just think it's fantastic because I was just on a site. Well, on this particular site, there's so much information on here, and there's another guy that's associated. He's a British guy. His name's
Christopher Story.
Yeah. Oh my God! The information on his site is just fantastic. They are, you know, all these other countries like China and places in Europe where they actually now are seizing the Bush crime family's assets and things where they can't get their money out. Because their assets are frozen, and they're getting ready now. Hillary has just rolled on them, so apparently they're expecting the world court to indict all these people by next month.
Well, it's quite possible. Now, Christopher Story is the publisher editor of the International Currency Review and many other books. He actually carried Wantagate. He was inspirational in my writing of a piece about Leo Wanta. It was the first one that I did for the Idaho Observer. And I've been following what's going on very closely, and you can track bogus financial transactions through the SEC that occurred prior to and after 9/11. And it's all military-industrial complex stuff. And we can add to that the research of David Hawkins and Field McConnell into the Tontine murder contracts, plane crashes, mysterious explosions in midair, those types of things. This is nothing but organized crime.
Right.
Crime. Okay.
Exactly. Has there been any activity with that Leo Wanta fund? Is that money still pretty much there?
Well, when you say Bush's assets or Clinton's assets or any of these other clowns, it's our assets that have been stolen. You
right.
See?
Go
ahead.
I understand that when the Clintons were in office, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, they were able to get their hands on something like $4.5 trillion. Is that any truth to that?
That was the initial negotiated Wanta settlement that occurred in the Federal District Court of Richmond, Virginia. That was to go into Ameritrust Group. But what people didn't know is that behind the scenes, George Bush was pulling the strings on that. There is a story, and I can tell you this, that I have researched this. I probably should write up something on this. And I've had this conversation with Christopher Story about this very issue. Leo Wanta was not in an Oklahoma prison when they say he was. And we know he was in Kansas City at one time period. And also, he was in Hong Kong in another time period.
He was a government liaison, wasn't he?
Well, he was a special agent working under the color of the the U.S. Treasury and CIA. They gave him CIA names and FBI aliases, and he would use those intermittently. But he was, and this was being done with the cooperation of foreign governments, okay? This was not just a behind-the-scenes thing. This was with the intention of bringing a new world order, with the intention of turning the whole world into a fascist, Zionist, communist state. And they all participated.
Did he have some sort of revelation in his own life that, hey, I'm doing something wrong here? Because he started, like, taking the money and putting it in a Swiss bank account. Isn't that what happened here?
Oh, he had it in hundreds, maybe even thousands of offshore accounts. He claims he had amassed $27.5 trillion. The settlement was to give him 4.5, and they were going to put 1.575 taxes into the Treasury. Well, that doesn't go into the Treasury. The Federal Reserve takes the money, and they convert it to gold. You see, we don't even know the state of that actual money, okay? The story was that he was buying discount rubles from 18 cents to 23 cents against a market price of $1.20, okay? And he even said he made this outrageous statement that he sold it back to the Soviets at that market price.
Wow.
and pocketed all this profit on an initial $150 billion investment that he made into Brinks in Holland. That was the original story he told. Okay, now these funds were hypothecated. Bush tried to get the money from them, and they knew the money was out there, so they pretended like they had it in the banks, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And
Did he ever have a actual criminal plan of profiting, actually keeping all that money for himself and all his cronies, or?
Well, see, I'm going to try to answer that. You have to read between the lines. The story is that because of Ronald Reagan's executive order 12333, that gave all the intelligence agents overseas, like CIA agents, authority to run businesses, to accumulate money, to open up bank accounts, and fund those things on their own. Well, it sounds to me like it just facilitates the drug industry. You see, they can make their business the drug business, and they can launder the money through these foreign banks. While this was going on, they came up with the concept of the Basel II agreement and the Basel III agreement. And we are supposed to be on a gold standard. We were supposed to be on one last year. The deadline was December of last year. And
actually
we're not
getting back on it.
Well, but you see, that's the problem. We can't compete, you know, with what's going on in the world. They're calling their due, okay? They're seizing our assets. This is why banks like Deutsche Bank own thousands of parcels of land and houses. Illegally, by the way. This is all done via computer. Okay? And the real owners are not being given these new documents. In some cases, people have sued. Okay? That's what's really going on in the mortgage industry. They're lying about what's going on. They're saying, well, these people shouldn't have never gotten a loan. They gave them the loan so that they could pull this off. You see? They did this intentionally. And if you read my Obama research in the Three Stooges Go to Washington, you'll see there's a repetitive pattern here of money laundering, drugs into the Bank of Hawaii and then banks in California, particularly in San Francisco, and then they start accumulating wealth throughout the country. Identity theft. And this is done through the courts, too. Oh, I mean, this is a really complex issue, but, you know, I'm trying to answer your question the best I can.
Well, you know, I am so excited, though. I'm very positive about, you know, this Christopher story. They are revealing. It's like they've been following these people ever since when Prescott Bush started getting in you know, when his, and then his son, the older HW, got into the being a CIA guy, they've been documenting their crimes and having, you know, monitoring these people. So to you know, this day we're in now, they're bringing this all out, and they've got the help of the rest of the world too. I mean, this fleecing of America and all its assets and everything could actually trigger World War III.
Yeah, Mark, I've got an expose on all of that on my website. You go to directlightproductions.com, click on articles, look up, this is the second article I wrote for the Idaho Observer called Deathbed Confessions, Photos Support Claims That George H. Scherf, Jr. was the 41st president. Read that. That's been confirmed.
Huh.
And Christopher Story, by the way, agrees with this research.
Yeah, I'm just kind of recently, in the last week or so, kind of researching this Christopher Story guy, and I'm liking everything that I'm reading about what he's bringing out, and of course you as well. And I just think it the combination of all the people now that have been doing this for a long time, I think their days are numbered. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
they
it's sounding
are.
Like.
Well, Mark, thank
well,
you.
I'll tell you one thing, Mark. I'd like to interject, and that is that there is a collection of files which is very superficially called the suitcase. And in there is the proof of crimes committed by every president and all of their administrations from the time that the United States Corporation was formed until now. And if that ever gets released, you will see an America that is so enraged and so inflamed that they're going to do a house cleaning that's going to extend from the presidency right down to your local mayors and the lawyers and everybody else. And there's going to be a lot of hangings because the stuff that's been going on is so debased and so perverted and so planned that there's no way in God's green earth it can be accidental. And that file, the suitcase file, is meant to be released the minute that the financial situation that's currently upset the entire globe is eventually worked out. Now, if I had anything to say about it, I'd reverse the trend and release the information ahead of time. But they want to make sure that all the bills are paid before they open the suitcase. But I'm telling you, you have no idea the extent of the evil that has been manifest. And when the people of this country find out how their loved ones have been sacrificed and their lives have been made miserable by the very governments that they have been relying on to protect them and to serve this nation and to make everything right, there's just going to be hell to pay. And I hope that day comes soon.
Yes, well said, Jim. Mark, I got to let you go. We got other callers waiting. But thanks for calling in. Keep listening. Tell your friends about us.
I will. I always do. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
All right. We've got a caller. I don't know the full name or where you're calling from. I've got JG. Are you still on the line with us?
Hi, Don. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how you doing? Where
Pretty
are you calling
good.
From?
California.
Okay.
Yeah, I just, I kind of sure miss Greg's show, Evenson's.
Is there a caller there?
Yes, we have a caller. Can you hear him?
No, I can't hear a thing.
I'm not coming across, Don, to him.
Don Newsom, can you make sure that JG's phone is turned up a little bit for us here? Okay, go ahead, JG.
Yeah, I just had a comment real quick, Don. I was listening to the George Wiley show here about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And she brought on a guy named A.C. Griffith. Have you heard of him?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and he was on twice, and it sounded like his first show he almost brought her to tears, because he just, the way it was almost like George Orwell's 1984, what was the guy's name that had War of the Worlds? Orson Welles.
H.G. Wells.
H.G. Wells.
No, but Orson Welles did the radio War of the Worlds show.
Oh yes. He did the Halloween presentation. You're exactly right. Go ahead.
Yeah. And when this guy was on Joyce's show, the way he, just the last 10 minutes, I could hear her whimper and sniffle, because she goes, "You don't paint a very wonderful future." And he goes, "I can't." And the way he did it, it was just dramatic as all get out. But what the main point I wanted to bring up to you two is, and you're probably well aware of it, is that on her website somewhere, and I guess her news section, he posted all the legal documents. He turned everything over to her that he was in. I guess he was with NSA or something like that, and he was involved right in the cadre, right near Reagan, I guess, or something. Or close to somebody, I couldn't remember, but I taped the show, a couple of them, but I don't know if you two are aware that the legal documents are on George Riley's website somewhere about Leo Wanta, what his position was and everything. Were either of you aware of that?
I've seen the documents. I think one reason why they're, I can't say why they may be published there, but these documents don't leak out on their own, okay?
No, well, that's why he said he went on her show, and I think she asked why he was doing this, and because I guess he said he had a conscience, or he just, and why on her, I don't know. I don't either know, Don, but I'm just saying that, I taped the show, and he was quite revealing with everything. I think it's the whole case. I'm not sure, but most of it's on there, according to what I heard on the show. I just want to pass that on to you, too.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I've been, I post Christopher's articles on my site. A lot of them end up on the news section.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I had all of Wantagate up there. I had to remove it because of some maintenance problems that I was going through with my server at the time. But they're going to go back up there again. And what's interesting is that there are a lot of people following this, and certainly internationally they know what's going on. And we have what's called NASARA, the prosperity programs that people invested in, even going back 30 years ago, around the time that the Saudi Arabians were having their oil wells developed, and they were buying treasury bonds. And those bonds matured in August of 2008. And you notice the oil prices went down to $40 a barrel, or even under 40. I think they made it down to $34 in some sense.
Mm-hmm.
That was intentional. At first they drove it up to 150 so they could make a killing, and then they brought it down so they could destroy the Saudi market.
Well, it
didn't destroy it completely, but they couldn't do anything with the money. In other words, they devalued the dollar. They deflated the dollar that they were paying them. Okay, they stop at no amount of financial criminality.
Rape. Okay. He said as well, Don, that this is all taking place, I guess, in Richmond, Virginia, is where the court trial is, I thought he said. And
yes,
he said Wanta actually had kept $4.3 trillion, I thought he said, for himself, but that it's frozen, I guess, and the court won't let him, I guess, have it. So that's what's in the mix going on right now. So I don't know, you two can go up there.
Yeah, they gave it was a $4.5 trillion settlement, at least as advertised.
Yes.
And it was given to Bank of America.
Yep.
And then it became a ping pong ball and went from bank to bank.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And there were other amounts of money that have been absconded with, funneled through countries like North Korea, to India, $25 trillion.
Yeah, he said 23, I thought, but maybe it was 25, yeah.
Yeah, you know, we had this 2.3 trillion missing on September 10th, 2001.
Yes,
the
sir.
Next day, 9/11 occurs. Come
yes,
on, you're telling me that news came out, and we know that Dov Zakheim was the likely culprit there. That money ended up going to Israel, and then it came back as bribes to our Congress. Okay, then they divvied up, you know, amongst their buddies. This
yes,
has
sir.
Been going on nonstop, and it involves, you know, not just the Council on Foreign Relations, not just the Hurricane Katrina Fund, not the Trilateral Commission, I should say, not just the Trilateral Commission, but it involves Carlyle, and it involves Halliburton, and Rand Corporation, and all of these military-industrial complexes. The banks, the pharmaceutical companies, the oil companies, they're all in on it.
Wow.
There's absolutely no doubt about
no
that.
No end to it, is there? Yeah. Boy, I love that. I love that particular YouTube ping-ponging back on morality and the issues of nothing's beyond. I tell you, that was a great thing, Don. I really appreciated it. That conversation about 20 minutes ago you two had.
Well,
that was
thank
great.
You.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, to us, it's preaching to the choir, but for those that are, I don't know if you know how many are listening now, but, you know, I wish you could get on and say that same type of, can you record your shows, Don?
Oh, yeah, we have them archived here at BBS, yes.
Okay, yeah, because I'd like to get a copy of this one, yeah. All right, I better let you gentlemen go to
well,
the...
Consider subscribing. Eventually, I get them up on my site, but consider subscribing to BBS Archives. It's not very expensive, and you can download all the shows on the whole network.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. All right, Don. Jim, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we really appreciate your interest, and tell others about the things you hear here, because the salvaging of this nation is in our hands, nobody else's. Remember that.
Yes. I certainly will. Thank you.
All right. Yes.
God bless.
Okay, you too. Well, Jim, how do we wrap this up? We've been all over the place, but, you know, hey, and you set a record for calls on Friday night tonight. You know that.
Well, I think it's pretty amazing that all of a sudden we get all these callers, but I tell you what, God bless them all. That's what we need. You know, it demonstrates concern, it demonstrates interest, and it demonstrates fortitude. I mean, that's what it's going to take. People
yeah.
are waking up. That's all that counts.
It's responsibility in action, you know. And these were all great questions, too. You know, these things are going on. The Wanta Gate issue is really a microcosm of the whole thing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
It's a drop in the bucket.
Yes. We know without a doubt that there are over $700 trillion of phony derivatives and hedge funds. Think about that, folks. That involved with this Wanta Gate story, this Leo Wanta, Ambassador Leo Wanta, they called him, he was going to, if this deal would have gone down, he was to put $1.575 trillion into the U.S. Treasury. It would turn the country around overnight. You could repair all the infrastructure in the country and still have money left over. I've often said it takes 31,710 years to count to a trillion, a second at a time. Certainly those dollars, whatever the value of the dollar would have been, could fix up the whole country. But what did they do with that? They stole the $4.5 trillion. It was replaced by China once or twice, actually. And the Queen of England and a Saudi prince kicked in another $6.2 trillion, and they hijacked that. I'd been reporting for months that they stole $14 trillion that was sitting at Citibank in New York City. And that Christopher Story reported about that as well. All of a sudden, you hear that they need $14 trillion to bail the country out of the mess it's in. But who did they give the money to? They gave it to themselves. Or did they? We heard that only 10% of that money went out, and the rest of it they stole. Or they tried to steal. And everywhere they turned to hit these offshore accounts, the accounts were frozen, because under Basel II and then Basel III, which demands a gold standard. The distinction between the two is probably Basel II is source of funds. You have to prove where the money came from. And then Basel III, I'm being, you know, just summarizing the differences, is the gold standard, and you still have to produce source of funds. You have to declare how you acquired that money, how it ended up in that account. And they can't do that, because it's been hypothecated or stolen or both.
Well, actually, that what you just exposed right there is the real true explanation for the depression that's going on right now. There are hundreds of trillions of dollars stashed in banks all over the place. And because the banking system internationally has already embraced Basel I and II, now they're in a conundrum because they can't legally put that money on the books like they're supposed to as a result of Basel II for transparency of banking without first rectifying actually whose money that is. Because just because it might be in Clinton's name or George Bush's name doesn't mean that that's really their funds. What human being in the course of a lifetime can accumulate several trillion dollars? Give me a break. That was all stolen from the American public. And until they rectify that matter and expose the criminals, the recession is going to continue, and it's going to get worse.
Yes. And this ruse of this bank went under and this bank went under. The Federal Reserve is under to the tune of $3.3 quadrillion. Do you expect a bank to actually be solvent or liquid? You know, in an illusory financial system, do you really, I mean, think this through for a moment and say, why do we give these people so much power? Why do we keep applauding the magic trick? You know, we've seen the trick. Get the guy off the stage. Pull the hookah on him like they do on the Gong Show.
Or yeah, live because actually the performance is pretty crummy when you come right down to it, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't want to give all the credit to the Gong Show. You've got Live at the Apollo Theater, too, okay? And here you wonder why you have a usurper in the White House and he's not required to show any documentation proving who he is, what planet he may be from, or what laboratory, what test tube he was conceived in? I mean, let's use our license, our literary license here, you know, in our creative imaginations. Where is this guy from? How does somebody raise $1 billion to become the president of the United States? Nobody even knows his real name. How does that possibly happen, right? But we have the connections to the Rockefellers who happen to have always played a role in the mass genocide of millions of people on this planet and set up all these foundations that control the schools and control the churches and control business and the pharmaceutical industries. They're hiding behind all of this like cockroaches hiding in the dark, which is the reason for their secret societies, because they know that as soon as the lights come on, it's time to run, just like the cockroaches run. Put them in a sack and pretend they're rats, and they get at each other. They have their own power struggles in their little clique. And, you know, this goes beyond anyone's imagination or anyone's reason. This goes so far beyond that. And yet these people are looked upon that they have some special gift, some special privilege. And
well, you know, I wanted to make a comment.
Sure, go ahead.
It's a little bit of a stretch, but it's been hovering in my mind for quite some time. about 3-4 weeks ago, we did a show together in which you brought out the fact that in one of your articles you reported that there is actually ancient Egyptian DNA which has been worked into the Obama fabric.
Yes.
And the reason why I find that amazingly interesting, and I don't know how much, you know, knowledge they have of the human genome or the way in which gene splicing can be accomplished. But what rings true about that statement for me, even though on a certain level it hits you as being so far out that it doesn't make normal sense. But when you look at it objectively, and you imagine the fact that there are laboratories being supplied with billions of dollars to learn the secrets of how humanity is put together, which you already know is being done strictly for discovering new angles of control. We already know humans have been cloned. We know animals have been cloned. It's not that much of a stretch to assume that ancient DNA might have been worked into the Obama formula. But I kept asking myself, you know, why would they want to do that? Well, you know what? Obama himself may have supplied the answer. Do you remember when he starts making these comments like, I am the ruler of the world?
Oh, yes. Or we celebrate the Egyptian authorities on his visit to Egypt when they showed him statues of King Tut and paintings and drawings and all these things, the hieroglyphics. He goes, he sort of looks like me. Okay?
Yes.
They were celebrating the return of the Pharaoh.
Well, the thing that's so interesting about that is that from a genetic point of view, if that was in fact accomplished and the genes were taken from the right Pharaoh or the right Egyptian leader, that type of attitude would be instinctual. Because...
Yes, well,
that's exactly what a pharaoh would say.
Yes.
I am the ruler of the world.
For those that are listening that didn't read The Three Stooges Go to Washington, Part 7A and B, and that's divided up because of download time. It's a very large article. I exposed the cover-up of the faked death of Michael Rockefeller. I submit that he is the sperm donor, and that the DNA from Cleopatra was the likely female side of the puzzle. And based on statements made as far back as 1926 that they believed they discovered the sarcophagus of Arsinoe, which was her younger sister. And how would you know that unless you had something else to compare it to at that time? So they maybe as early as 1920 or 1921, they had discovered the tomb of Cleopatra, who was queen twice in Egypt. She was the last one of that lineage of pharaohs and queens. So it's heavy. That's a heavy, heavy thing for people to imagine. But I'll tell you something, Jim. It makes a hell of a lot more sense than Hawaii and Kenya does with the fake documents and the fake photos. And Michael Rockefeller's photos were fake, too. The whole story is nothing but a ruse. So, go ahead, comment.
Well, my only comment is that, you know, if I had anything to say about it, I would prefer a human being that was manufactured in the old-fashioned way by two people that had a great deal of love and respect for one another, and that the hidden link in that union was a spiritual component provided by God, not some dried-out mummy that was added to the mix for the sake of producing a megalomaniac that wants to execute a hidden agenda.
Yeah.
And we should think about that.
Yeah. Well, it's got all the earmarkings. I mean, they're literally repeating everything that went down prior to World War II. Even World War I, okay, this Marxist ideology, Stalinist tactics, what people need to understand is these international intelligence agencies actually work together. They're working together for the people that pull the purse strings. And that's the bankers, okay? The bankers give them the funding to conduct the wars, to take over the poppy fields, for example, in Afghanistan, or in Burma, or Laos and Cambodia, Vietnam, like they did during the Vietnam War. That's what that war was about. It was about getting those drugs. Because there were massive profits to be made, and they were funneled through the banks, and then they funnel it to the people that are, you know, down the ladder, each rung of the ladder, greasing the wheels constantly. Is it?
Well, it's a known fact among bankers who are high enough on the food chain that the present financial arrangement would not work without the endless flow of drugs through the system, because they've already taken out the gold, and so, in fact, our currency is not paper-based, it's opium-based. And this is actually well-known. I mean, if you dig into it a little bit, you'll find out that during the Clinton administration, they went hog wild with this to the point where they were using the Hercules transport airplanes and the military to bring in drugs at an unprecedented rate to bolster the banking system and continue the plague throughout America.
Well, there are numerous accounts of them using C-130s to transport this stuff. You know, you're not.
Well, I couldn't think of the name of the plane, but you know, yeah. The big cargo transports.
Yeah. And then they closed down military bases like Homestead Air Force Base south of Miami, and they turned that into a drug depot. You know, I mean, it's nonstop. But you see, the intelligence agencies are, you know, we're taught through movies like Goldfinger, you know, all these James Bond thrillers, that this is mystery, and somehow these people are doing something for the government. Okay, and keeping democracy alive, you know, protecting the king or the queen, and the presidents, and you got to throw sex in there, you know, they got to throw violence in there, they have to throw technology in there. You see, they throw all their little toys that they do to make money, and it's really a reflection on how society is built, and in that particular case, they're putting it right in front of our face. Just like they did The Wizard of Oz. If you really look at The Wizard of Oz after listening to a show like tonight, it'll look completely different. You'll start to get the meaning of what who the Munchkins are, for example.
And the Wicked Witch of the West. Who's the man behind the curtain?
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, the wizard himself. And that a little Scottish Terrier can go and pull that little veil back and expose him. You know, and representing man with a lion that doesn't have a heart and a tin man. I mean, the tin man is supposed to be us. I mean, those characters are all us, the scarecrow. I mean, they're selling you fear with these images, you see? So, and when did that movie come out? 1938? It came out before World War II. Talk about propaganda and mind control and how the use of Hollywood in that. You know? It's the same thing. So it doesn't matter if it's that or Star Wars or James Bond movies. They put the messages out there right in front of your face.
Well, the interesting thing is they also tell the truth in the messages. It's just that most people can't discern it. Like you were saying before about the James Bond series talking about protecting democracy, protecting the queen. Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly what they're doing. They want to uphold democracy because it's really a form of mobocracy. And they definitely want to protect the Queen because her hands are dirty as anybody else's.
Yeah.
And they don't want those nasty little secrets to come out. So what do? They have a character who has a license to kill. Imagine that. The license to kill.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jim, we're out of time. This has been an interesting show. I want to give you a chance to make a closing comment to our listening audience. We got to let Don get home early tonight.
Yeah, I understand. Well, the only comment I have is that I was very enthused, to be honest with you, at the number of callers that we had, and it's gratifying to know that there are people listening and that they have an interest in what's going on, and they should remember that as a union, as a united front, we the people represent an unstoppable power. And as soon as you get that message and you realize the magnitude of that information, you're in a position to change all of this. Because there are 300 million of us, and there's just a handful of scum that's causing all the problems. And we have to bear that in mind. When the time comes, there needs to be house cleaning, and it needs to be a thorough cleaning.
So do you recommend a Kirby or an Oryx?
No, actually, I recommend doing it with the same legal system that they've been bastardizing for the last century. Because there's nothing wrong with the ideas and the foundation that was laid down by our founding fathers. It's just that it's been circumvented, sidestepped, abused, and disregarded. But we can resurrect it. And we can churn them through the system. And that's exactly what needs to be done.
Yes. Well, Jim, thank you for your insight. Well said. Thanks to all the callers tonight, especially Drew, Everett. Let's see, who else do we have? Mark, JG.
Mark.
Yeah, great comments, great questions. We appreciate you listening. Tell your friends about us. And we want to thank all those in the U.S. military around the world that are listening to the show, either via Wind Talkers Radio Network or Blog Talk Radio. By the way, I got word that the show I did with Drew Raines last night was rebroadcast on BBS Radio this morning. That was rather surprising. So I don't know if that's going to be a regular pattern. Maybe they ran out of music. I don't know. But anyway, if you like the show and you want to get a collection of the archives, subscribe. It helps us cover the bandwidth costs, and you can spread the word around. You can let others hear it, those especially that don't have the internet. If you've got a computer and you know how to burn a CD, you can put this stuff on a CD or an iPod and listen to it anywhere. And more people are doing that. And we have to be doing that. We've got to start networking together, pooling our resources and our creativity. And like Jim said, we can take our country back, and we will save the world from its current path of certain destruction. So, thank you for tuning in. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible tonight. Don Newsom did the sound. Great job, Don. To all of you around the world, again, I wish everyone a night or a day filled with peace, love, and light. And you folks in the States, have a good night.